a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues weekly broadcast on Spirit FM 88.3. Romans chapter 13 verse 11 to 12 says, "And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." On this broadcast, Brother Eben and his team reveal supernatural visions, dreams, and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible, real testimony soundbites of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Around me, I see prophecies fulfilled. Signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere. The sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues weekly broadcast on Spirit FM 88.3. Romans chapter 13 verse 11 to 12 says, "And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." On this broadcast, Brother Eben and his team reveal supernatural visions, dreams, and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible, real testimony soundbites of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Around me, I see prophecies fulfilled. Signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere.
Very good evening to our listeners. This is Spirit 88.3 FM. Issues of Life is the program. This is Eben. We thank God for another Saturday. It's always a privilege, and we give praise and glory to God for his protection and guidance, giving us another day, another weekend. This weekend is another one of this program. We're continuing the last few weeks. I've been talking about real Christian issues. I mean, things to encourage ourselves, to revive ourselves, to push forward, and to change our mindsets about things and all that. Tonight we'll be continuing from where we left off last week, some of the things, but I mean, extra information this week. A few news items which are also quite important to really look through further for further details and all that. We'll talk about it. And special greetings to our listeners, various places within the city, outside the city, outside the country, and elsewhere. Let me start with the news items first, and let's see, we have the first one says Chinese media warns risk of war with Taiwan is rising, and you know, there's been a silent tension between Taiwan and China in recent times. It's always been, but in recent times there's been an increment, and according to Chinese media, the risk of war with Taiwan is rising. You know, we have wars and rumors of wars, as the Bible talks about. And in recent times, there's been more of such escalations and potential wars and rumors in the news. I mean, for instance, the next one is energy row between Greece and Turkey increases as Turkey or Turkish vessel returns to disputed waters in Eastern Mediterranean. Ankara is the capital of Turkey. Ankara's decision to carry out a seismic survey to the south of a Greek island in the Eastern Mediterranean over the next 10 days is a major escalation of tensions, according to Greece's foreign ministry. And the Turkish Navy issued an advisory late on Sunday, announcing the Uruk race ship would conduct a seismic survey in the east of the Mediterranean. According to a new navigational telex, Navtex, the Uruk race, that's the name of the ship, will carry out activities south of the island of Kastellorizo until October 22nd. The move sees a return for the research vessel, which was recalled to Turkey in mid-September. At the time, the Greek and Cypriot authorities accused Ankara of having violated the country's continental shelf and maritime space for over a month. And though Cyprus and Greece are no match to Turkey when it comes to military power and force, but the tension is also rising there. Okay, then we have the world doctor, Bill Gates. Bill Gates says life will return to normal only after second generation of COVID vaccines rolled out and virus eliminated globally. The first vaccine hasn't been successfully used. We are talking of second. The technology tycoon Bill Gates said life can get back to normal only when a second generation of COVID-19 vaccines is widely available and the virus is eradicated worldwide. A higher bar than that was set for any disease in history. Then goes on to say, the only way we'll get completely back to normal is by having maybe not the first generation of vaccines, but eventually a vaccine that is super effective, that a lot of people take, and that will get the disease eliminated on a global basis. Gates said on Sunday in an interview on NBC's Meet the Press program, that is where we can finally start talking, taking all the problems that have been created in education, mental health, and start to build back in a positive way. According to that standard, Americans might need to live for years or for life under social distancing rules. In this case, other countries as well. Distancing guidelines and other COVID-19 restrictions. It's certainly gloomer than the assessment Gates gave in a Fox interview last month when he said progress on vaccines might make it possible for a return to normalcy in the U.S. by the summer of 2021. He said he expects several of the first generation vaccines to get emergency approval by early next year. You know, this whole thing, you know, you ask yourself, there are other diseases that are killing far more people than this COVID. Why are they not also paying a lot of attention to also stop those diseases, to find vaccines for them? But this one suddenly has become one that all attention is on. But you look at the numbers, it doesn't warrant. This week, the World Health Organization is now begging world leaders to look at the lockdowns and economic shutdowns, which has really affected the world economy and all that. They advised those things earlier, but now they've seen that that is not the way to go because economies are crashing in various places and all that, various countries are struggling and all. You see, this whole thing, I've said it in earlier editions of this program about where the World Economic Forum, where they are discussing the great reset of the world system, world economy, and everything. There is an agenda behind this whole thing. So some people don't care about the impact that these shutdowns and lockdowns and whatever is having on the masses. They want to achieve their ultimate aim. See, because if you think, you think through and see. I mean, cancer kills far more people than COVID. Malaria, even malaria, it kills more people in Africa than COVID. TB kills more people than COVID. Hepatitis is killing more. Cancer, kidney, heart diseases, diabetes. All these diseases are killing far more people than COVID. So why are those big killers not being seen as problems that, I mean, emergency issues, solutions should be sought for? But COVID comes. Then there are also diseases, I mean, drugs that are also treating COVID effectively. People get it. I had friends who got COVID. They were treated fully, and now they are fine. I mean, some within days, they are back to normal. So there are also medicines. I mean, just like you have medicines for malaria, but still some people die. You have medicines for other diseases, TB and all those things, but still some die. So, you see, so if you really ask questions, you analyze it effectively, you think through and ask questions, you realize this whole thing is not normal because there's an agenda behind it. So, well, let's watch them as they do what they want to do. Well, we go to the U.S. for some news, and this one says Joe Biden, that's the Democrats, Democrats presidential aspirant Joe Biden says young children who decide they want to be transgender should face zero discrimination. Democrat presidential candidate Joe Biden suggested that children as young as 8 years old should be allowed to change their gender identity if they decide they want to be transgender. The comment came on Thursday night at an election town hall hosted by ABC News, where a woman who said one of her two daughters is transgender and then asked Biden what he would do to protect LGBTQ rights. The former vice president said, quote, "I will flat out just change the law," unquote. He then told a story about seeing two gay men kissing each other and being told by his father, Joe, it's simple, they love each other, unquote. Okay. And Biden next turned to the topic of children transgenderism. He says, the idea that an 8-year-old child or 10-year-old child decides, you know, I decided I want to be transgender. That's what I think I would like to be. It would make my life a lot easier. There should be zero discrimination, he later added. There is no reason to suggest there should be any right denied your daughter, that your other daughter has a right to be and do. Biden's apparent support for child transgenderism was panned on Twitter, where commenters pointed out the dangers of letting children below the age of consent decide to make a radical life change with long-term effects. I mean, someone said, they wrote, sure, because any parent who has sat there and listened to their kids change their minds on Halloween costumes 10 times in a month thinks this is a good idea. One observer tweeted. Another said, it's almost like let them sign a mortgage for lifetime because it makes them happy at the time. Still, another commenter also said, 8-year-old decide a lot of things that are stupid. This is disturbing. I can't see normal people buying into that insanity. And yes, that's the right word, insanity. It's completely insane to, I mean, imagine and accept 8-year-old, I mean, my last born is 8 years. I mean, a boy. I can't just imagine he coming to me and said, I want to be a girl. I mean, this is where in times past we've discussed these issues about the dangers of media, uncontrolled media in homes. You see, because if the child is not getting this exposure from the school, in terms of places over there where the educational system is completely messed up and they are being taught all this nonsense in schools. If it's not from the school, then it's from bad friends, or from the media, the TV shows, the, I mean, contaminated cartoons and kids programs and all. You see, so if you're a parent, these are the things you should be very watchful of. Especially in here, I mean, in Ghana, thankfully, our educational system isn't contaminated like, I mean, as it is in the US. But the media is virtually, the TV shows for children, the cartoons, are virtually the same things they watch there in the US. That's what we also have on our TVs here. So if parents don't step up the game in guarding against these dangers that are playing out on our screens, soon we'll also be in Ghana here, and your son or daughter will come and tell you that, "Ma, I no longer want to be a girl, I want to be a boy." Or your son will come and tell you, "I want to be a girl." Because they will see it somewhere and it will be appealing. And by the way, you see, these are spiritual things. So there's a backing of demons. You see, so when they get accepted, like they accept these things, they start seeing the information, and then the demonic aspect comes in. Now they start being influenced. So you see, when we hear these things elsewhere, these are things we should also learn from them and then use it to guard our houses. Because when you see your neighbor's house is on fire, you don't always sit there and say that to be fearsome. Because it's just one strong wind and a spark of fire also blows over your wall, and then gradually you also have problems in your home. So when you see these things from afar, we should know that it's time to step up the game in protecting our own over here. Then we have Catholic Bishop rebukes Joe Biden over abortion and urges him to anticipate divine judgments. I mean, when I read this news, I was really happy about this bishop, because you see, sometimes people have to remind politicians that they will face the judgment of God. You know, it's like, but this is the reality. I mean, you just can't support evil things and then think because it's politics, so it's not a sin or it's not wrong. If it's sin, it's sin. If it's wrong, it's wrong. It doesn't matter, I mean, the politics of it. Roman Catholic Bishop of Knoxville, Tennessee, urged Democratic nominee Joe Biden to rethink his support of abortion in light of the fact that God is going to judge him. That's a very strong word. That's good. The truth. God is going to judge him. A question from Mr. Biden, according to Bishop Rick Sticker, tweeted on Sunday, quote, "At your judgment before God, how will you explain changing your position about abortion? And how will you explain promoting no limits and allowing all protections removed, protecting the most innocent?" Unquote. "Will you tell God," quote, "will you tell God you supported the ultimate child abuse because of the American Constitution?" Sticker added, "I wonder what God must have asked many leaders throughout the centuries. Government over human rights and taking of innocent lives. Many Catholics will need to answer this, the first of many questions about the poor and then the starving, etc., and all that." And this is it. I mean, we should always remind ourselves of the fact that there's going to be judgment. So in making decisions and the things we do, we should not lose sight of this fact. And that's exactly what... This is not about the politicians alone. It's about us, our daily living as well. We should be mindful of the decisions, the things we do. Because judgment is more of like, you know, life after death type of thing. So we don't really ponder over these things that much. But see, the essence of reading the word of God, the essence of praying, the essence of calling yourself a Christian and all that, is a life that is set apart. Supposed to be a life that is set apart. So we just can't live like any other person lives, how any other person lives. Our lifestyle is very important. And when especially we remind ourselves that there is going to be judgment, it should be a guide and it should be a prompt to at least cause us to think a bit. And that should be able to cause us to rethink and redo things in a different way. Then we have Christian animator's business blacklisted after she, declines to draw transgender flag. I mean, when I saw this one, the first question is, transgender flag, what is difficult about it that you can't draw it yourself, but you want someone to draw it for you? It's just colors, five or six colors that they've picked from the rainbow. And you see, they intentionally pick Christian businesses just to provoke an attack. You see, they know that this is a Christian business. Oh, this girl is a Christian animator. So let's go and tempt her to draw our flag. If she doesn't, then we pick her up and then put pressure on her and then disgrace her. You know, these are the things happening in some countries now, where Christians are being bullied by their stance because it's like they know you're a Christian. No, there was one article I read some time back where this LGBTQ people, their wedding, went to a Christian bakery to order for their wedding cake. And the article was sort of that if you check the map where these people are located and the bakery they went to, in between their location and the bakery, there are about 400 bakeries, of which some are known LGBT bakeries. Like, that's their brand. They bake for LGBTQ community. They drove past all these many bakeries and went to a Christian one. You see, so it tells you that it's not about they just want a cake. They have come to tempt you and just to see your reaction to their position. So it's becoming, for those people in such places, it's becoming more challenging to be a Christian because it's like there are some, who have lost their livelihoods just by taking a stance for their faith because, well, we won't do this as our policy, we don't do this. And then, okay, if you won't do it, then we take you to court for, homophobic. You are being homophobic. You hate LGBT. You are this, you are that. And it's hate crime, you know. So this intimidation is happening at various places. And that's the world we live in. I mean, we are fortunate in Ghana that we don't have these things here. But you see, the world is sinking so fast that we don't know when. You don't know when. But I really wish we don't get to that point because it's such an intimidating thing because you have a choice to make to save your business or to just open up and do their orders. You know, it's quite a challenge for these Christians out there who have to make such bold decisions, and pray for more grace for them to endure these things. All right, and let me get to the next one that says, Christian pastor in U.S. facing threats on his life from Chinese Communist Party as protesters descend on home. So Pastor Bob Fu, a founder of the faith-based advocacy group China Aid, and his family are in protected location, while the FBI and CIA investigate threats against his life from the suspected members of the Chinese Communist Party. The threats against Fu and his loved ones began September 26th, according to Patrick Payton, mayor of Midland, Texas. So now the Chinese government has overstretched the arm from China into U.S. territory to also go and persecute a pastor there. It's just the persecution is stepping up. I mean, it's not. It's just getting worse for Christians in China, the underground churches. I mean, there's one news item I'll be reading the course of this as part of it as well. Then to India, we have Christian who refused to renounce faith, beaten by Hindus and left with hearing damage. A Christian in India is left with permanent hearing damage after Hindu radicals brutally beat him, demanding he renounce Christianity and return to Hinduism. On September 2nd, a mob of 60 Hindu radicals stormed the home of Rajra Kashyap, 45, and son, Asharam, in a village near the Bastar district. According to Morning Star News reports, and then they were demanding that the Christians renounce their faith. The radicals struck the elder man's ears until it bled while delivering severe blows to his son's back. Doctors at the district hospital, government hospital, said the damage to his ear is permanent and that he will need a hearing aid the rest of his life. According to an allied lawyer for legal advocacy group Alliance Defending Freedom India, ADF India's allied lawyer helped the victims prepare a petition to Bastar district police officials. The officers said they will not register a first information report unless eyewitnesses come forward to report statements. However, the Christians fear they will come under attack from Hindu extremists if they talk to the police. And, you know, this is it. Intimidation, abuse, persecution, torture, killing. It's happening. India is, this year, they are really having lots of reports this year. And other countries as well. It's not only India, but India is really increasing in recent times. And then China bans copying of hymns and punishes Christians who print religious materials. China has been tightening restrictions on the distribution of religious materials in recent months by threatening fines and closure of printing shops or even imprisonment for selling Christian books or allowing customers to photocopy hymns. Bitter Winter, a publication that monitors religious liberty violations in China, reports that this month, Chinese Communist Party officials in Luoyang, a prefecture-level city in the central province of Henan, searched a local printing house for banned religious materials. Any religious content makes the issue political, not religious. Although banners on the streets say people are allowed religious beliefs, the only faith they can practice freely is that in the Communist Party, a store manager told Bitter Winter. Because inspections are too rigorous, the manager said he refuses to print religious materials. They checked my storehouse, scrutinized all records, and even looked at paper sheets on the floor to see if they have prohibited content. The manager told Bitter Winter, if any such content is found, I'll be fined, or worse, my business will be closed. A worker at a second photocopying business in Luoyang revealed that the ban on illegal religious materials applies to the copying, photocopying of hymns. Those who print religious materials face harsh repercussions, including fines and, in some cases, imprisonment. I don't even dare to make copies of two sheets with religious hymns because of strict investigations, the worker said. I was told to report anyone who comes to copy religious materials. A worker at another shop told Bitterwind, if you are not sure if a test is religious, we must keep its copy and report it to authorities. Hey. Unapproved religious publications imported from other countries are labeled as contraband. The government exerts strict control over mailed goods this year, a staff member of the courier company in Luoyang said. Only the mailing of government-approved books is allowed. All books with bad information, quote-unquote bad information, including religion, are not allowed to be dispatched. If public security authorities discover violations of these regulations, the company will be fined and closed down. Last month, Shen Yu, a Christian who operated his online bookshop in Zhejiang province in the Taizhou city, was sentenced to 7 years in prison and fined 200,000 RMB, that's $29,450 for selling unapproved religious publications. Police also reportedly launched a nationwide investigation to track down the bookstore's customers through sale records and confiscate their purchase books. You know, it's really getting tough out there for the Chinese Christians. But, you know, the harder the government cracks down on them, the stronger they get. The harder the limitations and restrictions, the more they grow. You know, it's just fascinating. I've been really following the Chinese church, reading things, watched their movies and read books, and you see, it's just awesome if you really look at the way their zeal and their tenacity. You know, they don't care. You know, last week I played an audio of this U.S. pastor, I mean, who met Chinese, 22 Chinese leaders in a hotel secretly for 3 days. And, you know, for those who didn't listen to that far, I mean, let me just summarize, you know. So he met them, they came, drove hours, 8 hours, and others, and all. They met secretly, you know, because if they are to be seen officially, it will be a problem. I mean, he will be, deported. And then he asked them, so how many have been to prison before? Of the 22, 18 have been to prison before. And asked them, okay, so what is their total number of churches they oversee? And for the 22 people, they are overseeing 20 million people. 22 people overseeing 20 million church members, underground churches. You know, the more you read some of these things, you realize we are joking here. Oh, yeah, that one I always say it without any apologies. We are joking here. I mean, young girls, 15-year-old girl who, is having 20,000 church members. Some teenagers, and they are running churches in the thousands. You know, you just look at it and it's like, wow. Today I saw one of the underground churches doing their meeting, a video of it. And you watch the video and you realize they are at another level when it comes to their Christianity, because they don't care. They don't care. They know the police can come in anytime while they are doing their worship, but they don't care. They are doing it. And you realize that they've gotten to a point where they truly understand what they believe in. And that is the power that drives them on. Though they look at the West and like they look at elsewhere and like we have our freedom, so they also wish they would have the freedom that we have. But sometimes, you see, when you also analyze it well, the more the freedom, or the more freedom you have, the more you take things for granted. So you realize that the restrictions is to the advantage, because if they also get the freedoms that we have, perhaps things will also be open like the way, and then the standard will start falling. So we just have to encourage ourselves to do more. We have to, because. And then let me have this good news, and then I'll break and I'll come back to continue from there. Yali tribe that once killed missionaries is now sharing the gospel and celebrating the gift of 2,500 Bibles. You know, when I saw this news, it was very interesting. In 1968, the Yali tribe of Papua New Guinea that practiced witchcraft and cannibalism killed two missionaries. Today, they hunger for the word of God. In August, the Yali people received 2,500 Bibles delivered by plane from Mission Aviation Fellowship. Some tribe members walked an entire... Listen to this part. It's just... Some tribe members walked an entire day's journey to reach the villages where the Bibles were being handed out. A whole deal for a Bible. You know, when I was asking, so how many of us today will be willing, if they say, let's assume we don't have Bibles. You are a Christian, but we don't have Bibles. And we are told that there are Bibles in Accra or maybe in Koko. But you have to walk for a whole day so that we can assess, go and have a copy of a Bible. How many of us will be willing to walk hours, a whole day's walk, just to get a Bible? You know, you realize that we are taking things for granted. We have it in excess, and it's serious. We have it, and we don't even read them. The average home has more than one Bible in Ghana, in Kumasi here. Let's limit ourselves. They have, you, the listeners, listening to me now, I can for sure assume and know and say that you have more than one Bible in your house, the house where you are. There's more than one Bible there. for the pastors, various concordances and Strong's and this and Dick's and these various commentaries and various versions and translations. Is it, so we have access to the Word of God, but are we reading them? That's where the issue is. And you look at such videos, and I looked at the community plane, so it's like this small plane that starts to land on a park type of thing. And the excitement of these people when, you know, they are dancing. And let me continue. It says, after 20 years of heat, humidity, and use, these Bibles wear out. MAF Corporate Communications Director Brad Hugin told the Christian Post that, like any object that's heavily used, it has to be replaced. The arrival of the Bibles was marked by a celebration complete with dancing, songs, and speeches. Many people might have thought this scene impossible just 52 years ago. The Yali were once known as the most feared tribe in Indonesia's snow mountains. Short and aggressive, they used their bows to kill other tribesmen and eat them. Even when the tribe wasn't at war, they hunted people for meat. Few who entered their mountains returned. The tribe didn't know people existed outside the mountains of Papua New Guinea or of a way to live without killing each other. I still remember the first missionary arrived here. An elder said in the MAF video, it made a big impact. Without MAF, we might still live in our old way of life. Hugin said that when the gospel arrives in a new tribe, it changes everything. The Bible frees people from the fear of powerful spirits and from cruel cultural practices. They find hope and peace from faith in Jesus. It's transforming to people. He said, there are mythological debates about leaving them as untouched as possible. But when you realize how people treat their children and their spouses, it's not acceptable. Having a message of God's love changes everyone's life. Often, the gospel means so much to tribes that members travel to nearby villages to tell people about their new faith. Missionaries Standale and Phil Masters started to reach the Yali tribe with the gospel. In the 1960s, Dale visited the Yali to share the gospel, along with the first Yali Christian, a man named Lulip Pahabo. Dale translated the New Testament book of Mark into Yali. It was the first step in the Yali Bible translation that took 30 years to complete, and which the Yali read today. In 1968, Dale Masters and Pahabo, and a group of porters from the nearby Dani tribe, walked to the Yale territory to tell them about Jesus. The Yali threatened the group and told them they would kill them. The group left. Then the Yali pursued them to an open river beach, bent their bows, and sent volleys of arrows into the missionaries and their porters. Masters and Dale stood on the beach, pulling out the arrows that wounded them until they died along with several members of the Dani tribe. The Yali ate their bodies, ground their bones into dust and scattered it to prevent the resurrection the missionaries had told them about in their earlier meeting. Interesting. 3 months later, a Yali man sheltered the son of missionaries who was the sole survivor of the plane crash. Soon after, a search party arrived, and the Yali saw it as a positive sign and allowed the missionaries to live along with them and teach them the gospel. Because God, in his far-reaching love, worked through a killing, a plane crash, faithful missionaries, translators, and organizations like MAF, these Yali tribes no longer walk the path of darkness. Their path is lit by the word of God, said Linda Ringenberg, wife of Dave Ringenberg, to the Christian Institute. Today, the Yali have left their violent traditions behind to follow Jesus. From now on, we will be using the Bible as our tool. This will be our fresh water, said one Yali woman in the video. Now we can read it in our mother tongue. And it's beautiful when you see such videos. It's quite encouraging. You realize people are working. I mean, Bible translators are really doing a lot for these, you know, off the places, places which are off the grid, normal grid. This evening, when I got to the studio, MBY was telling me about, I mean, Teo Vision, which yesterday he went with them to a village somewhere in Ashanti region, and the whole village, there was just one light in the middle of the village, and there's, you know, he was telling me about, you see, you realize there's a lot of work out there. You know, when you are in the city, sometimes we think everyone is a Christian. I mean, we think all is well and all, but there are many people who are not saved. Many people have not heard about the gospel. They don't know about Jesus. And there's a lot that has to be done. But, you know, it's unfortunate that the church has become largely comfortable in cozy chairs and cities, and we think all is well. And it's as if we know Jesus. Well, for the others, it's up to them, you know. And I think sometimes we have to remind ourselves that God will hold us accountable for, I mean, because to whom much is given. And because definitely there are lots of institutions, churches, and people who can do more for communities out there in their villages and all that. And we are just not making any effort to help the gospel to reach out to these places. And even to people within our reach that we can even do something about, we just don't care. Because we think that is it. I mean, we are saved, our families are saved, and that's fine. And that shouldn't be, we shouldn't be selfish, and we shouldn't keep the thing to ourselves. Because had the early church done this, the gospel would not have reached us today. And that's the important part of it. All right, I'll be back after this short break. And there's one last news item which I really want to take time to talk about it, because it's very important we look at some of these things, especially in these times we find ourselves in. Okay, I'll be back after this song.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, true. And with faith, I'll be a living sanctuary, Lord, for you. Sanctuary. I want to be pure and holy. Let me be tried and true, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Are you thankful tonight? I'll be a living sanctuary. Oh Lord, for you. Sing it with all of your heart, Lord. Prepare me. Jesus, to be a sanctuary. I want to be pure and holy. Oh, let me thanksgiving.
A beautiful song. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Indeed, it's really an important prayer to pray every day. Okay, so let me read this news item. Last of 21 Christians martyred by ISIS in Libya finally laid to rest after 5 years. The remains of a Ghanaian Christian beheaded by the Islamic State terrorist group on a Libyan beach in an execution video in 2015, has finally been laid to rest in Egypt. Cairo-based journalist Farid reported on September 29 that the body of Matthew Ayaraga was finally laid to rest alongside the 20 Coptic Christians who were beheaded beside him on a beach in Sirte, Libya. In a video released by the Jihadi Death Cult in February 2015. And I remember that video, it was very, very gruesome. Very gruesome those times. I mean, and his remains finally arrived today in Egypt to be laid to rest. And that's the report I'm reading. And then with his Coptic brothers, after 5 years of his body being not claimed. Farid, who has had articles published in the New York Times and other outlets, tweeted. Then he says, Farid provided a link to an article by Watani newspaper, an Egyptian weekly newspaper, widely read by Coptic Christians. The article reports that the families of the Coptic Christians, now listen to these parts, very interesting. The families of the Coptic Christians celebrated the remains of the martyr. Quote, we collapsed with great joy because the martyr Matthew is dear to us and he is one of our children because he was martyred with our children and adhered to his Christ. Unquote. Let me repeat. We collapsed with great joy because the martyr Matthew, that's Matthew Ayaraga, the Ghanaian, is dear to us. And he is one of our children because he was martyred with our children and adhered to his Christ, unquote. A mother of two of the martyred Coptic Christians told Watani News. We thank our master because he succeeded in returning the remains of the martyr so that he would be next to his brothers in the church. The 21 men were abducted whilst they were living in Sirte. As migrants working there to support their families back home. Before the execution, the men were filmed kneeling in front of 21 knife-wielding black-masked jihadis on the shore of a beach in Sirte, Libya. Several of the men were seen praying silently. The execution video, along with the video executions of other high-profile victims in Iraq and Syria, put the world on notice about how brutally the terrorist group was torturing those it captured. The video came at the height of the Islamic State regime of terror, reign of terror, in Iraq and Syria, and Egypt, Libya, and Afghanistan. News of the return of Ayarge's remains was celebrated by Barnabas Aid, a United Kingdom-based Christian aid agency serving persecuted Christian communities across the world. In a statement, Barnabas Aid noted that in 2015, in the execution video, Ayarge was asked by a terrorist, "Do you reject Christ?" The migrant who demanded that he follow Islam. The militant also demanded that he follow Islam. And then, referring to his brothers in Christ next to him on the beach, Ayarga answered, "Their God is my God." He answered, "Their God is my God." He was then beheaded. You know, so you see, when, let me finish it, then the bodies of the 20 Egyptian martyrs were flown to their homeland in May 2018. However, Matthew's body was unclaimed. The Barnabas Aid statement explained, in September 2020, authorities in Libya released Matthew's remains to Egyptian Christians to be laid to rest alongside other martyrs. 21 martyrs had been canonized as martyr saints by the Coptic Church, and their deaths have not been forgotten by the church's faithful. The Minya village of LR, where 13 of the 21 martyrs were from, has become a destination town known now for the Coptic Christians across the region, even though it is a primitive village. The village is now home to the Church of Martyrs of Faith, the homeland in LR, the final resting spot for the 21 martyrs. The construction of the church was ordered by Egyptian President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi. In February, a new museum was opened in LR, honoring those Christians killed by the Islamic State in Sa'tar. The museum will feature exhibits on the victims' lives and go into detail as to how they were abducted and executed. And today I saw one of the videos of one of the widows, those who were killed, one of the 21, the widows, one of the widows, and she was talking, this was 5 years ago, recording soon after the husband was killed. And this widow said she is happy because the husband didn't deny Christ. That is her joy. You watch it and you realize these people understand something we don't understand here. You know, the celebration that another martyr's body, who he's a Ghanaian, he's not even an Egyptian, but the joy that he died with them, he died with their children, so they are glad to celebrate even the fact that he died as a Christian. He didn't give up the faith, he didn't deny Christ. You know, so you realize, you know, you look at such reports. You know, when I watch the widow talking, and you know, talking with a smile on the face, and expressing that's the joy that she has, that the husband did not deny Christ before dying. That's something joyful. You realize they understand what it means to really follow Christ. They truly understand what it means to follow Christ. Then, these are some of the things I've been talking about on this program. We have to change our mindsets. I mean, why are we Christians? That's the first point. Because if these 21 young men had the understanding of being a Christian is just to have a good life, then they would have denied Christ on that day, on that shore, because they had the option to deny Christ and then continue to live and continue to make a living. After all, they traveled to Libya to go and work, to look for money for their families back home. So if you deny Christ and you are free to go and continue to do your work and make your money again, what's the big deal? You see, and this is the level to which we should start conscientizing ourselves about the real essence of following Christ. What is the real purpose for we being in Christ? You see, if we understand these fundamentals, we get it right, then it doesn't matter the storms that come. You see, because you realize that there is a stark difference between how we perceive these things and how those over there. Let me read this short part. This is a short part from Asia Harvest, a report from the Asia Harvest, which a Chinese brother, Harry Lee, was sharing his testimony, telling that he had spent 11 years in prison in China for his faith in Jesus. During his message, he unbuttoned his shirt to reveal scars on his chest, where he had been cruelly tortured for Christ. The presence of the Holy Spirit had given him power to overcome the worst that people could do to him. With tears running down his cheeks, he summarized his years of torture and deprivation as, quote, "my honeymoon with Jesus," unquote. "My honeymoon with Jesus," quote unquote. "My honeymoon with Jesus." The dear saint concluded his testimony with, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." Romans 8, 35 to 37. And this is an excerpt from Asia Harvest. You know, you realize their perception is completely different. How they perceive what Christianity is. So that's why the Chinese church is growing, despite what the clamping down the government is doing, the persecution, the prisons. Still, the church is growing. The church is still growing. And for those who I give you this book, The Heavenly Man, for those who have read it, you would really understand these things I talk about more, because that book has a lot of these things in there. You see, so you realize that it's time to really rethink what it means to be a Christian. You see, the reason why it's important to do this is that if we don't establish ourselves in the right channel, let me put it that way, the right type of Christianity, with the right beliefs and with the right mindset, when the storms come, we will fall away. Because you see, the church in these places, I've been reading the news, this Asia places and Middle East and all that, because of the foundation that they have in Christianity and how they've been taught over the years, it has made them stronger, and it has given them that capacity to withstand whatever comes their way. Be it good or be it bad, they stand. You see, and we have to understand something, that is because we on this side, we've been pampered and treated like dadaba Christians, as it were. So you see, if we don't start building ourselves spiritually, when strong storms start rising, we'll start questioning God. We'll start questioning our pastors. We'll start questioning our faith. And that is where the falling away, the backsliding, and being the lukewarm, and all those things step up. And you see, if you join a race and you don't intend to finish, then it's not worth joining the race at all. Because if we will become Christians and we will not go the long haul, to finish fully, then why did we become Christians? So if we've joined, then let's focus and finish. Because, that's the whole essence. If you joined, then you must have that desire to finish. And so we must keep encouraging ourselves to continue in the race. because the race is going to get tougher. I mean, we shouldn't deceive ourselves. The race is going to get tougher. It's getting tough for some people already in various places, but it's going to get tougher here as well. We shouldn't think it's going to be that comfortable all the time. You see, if we don't conscientize ourselves with these hard, uncomfortable truths, when the reality starts unfolding, we'll question God, we'll question our faith, and we'll leave. But it's a painful thing to start and not finish. I mean, if you start a 100-meter race at school, inter colleges, whichever university games, even at the Olympic Games, African Games, Commonwealth Games, World Athletic Championships, if you finish, I mean, you start a race and you don't finish, all that you lose is prize money, some thousands of dollars or millions of dollars that you lose. It's money. But we are talking of a race which has eternal rewards or consequences. So if you start and you will not finish, then the consequences are also there. But if we start and we focus and finish, the rewards are also there. And, I mean, some time back I was thinking through this thing that the fact that you've been born into this world as a human being, that you are existing now, you don't have an option, a third option. It's either two. Either you serve God and serve Him well, or you don't serve Him and automatically you are still on Satan's camp anyway. Or you go full hog and also then you know you are fully serving Satan. That's what I'm doing. Declaring themselves as Satanists and whatever they do. But there's nothing like a third option that, oh, you opt out of these things. So you there, you are neutral. There's nothing like that. There's no option like that. You have to take a side. You have to make a choice. And so far as we know as Christians from our Bible, which is the authentic source of God's word, there are only two places, heaven or hell. So if there are only two places and we can only make one choice, then why not be fully committed to the choice we are making that we want to go to heaven and then work towards it full time, like full concentration with all that we can to ensure that we achieve that aim? Because at the end of the day, why enroll in a school when you don't intend to finish and graduate? Of course, things like maybe financial challenges coming in and you can't complete fees, paying fees and all, so you quit. Those happen in school, normal school settings and all. But in this aspect of the spiritual life we are talking about, there's nothing like opting out. Once you opt out, it's still a choice for the other side. And these are the realities. You see, when we face these truths, these uncomfortable truths, it helps us to rethink and reprogram our lives to stay focused. It's very important. It's because we've gotten to the point where we have to be determined that we are going all out to finish the race we've started. Some started this race 30 years ago, they became born again, some 20, some 10, some 5, some 40. Depends, it varies. But we started that race. Sometimes we slack along the way, we go down, we backslide. I mean, some backslide fully and come back again. Some just become lukewarm. And for some, our life is just like, you know, sinusoidal curve, whichever curve, like up, down, mountains, like up, hill, valley, up. Our life is just zigzag. We can't sustain and say that we are just staying at a good level, constant level, or at the best is to even keep going up, improving. For some, we go and then shim, we just come down. Sudden drop. Sin. We fall in. Then we gather the pieces again. We try to rise again. And then we come down again. So a cycle. Up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. For how long are we going to move in this curve? Up, down, up, down. One day you go down and then you can't come up again. You die in the down state. What happens? You see, so these are important decisions we have to take, that we want to stay focused. We want to repent. You see, the issue of repentance is now far more important than ever before. We need to get back to God. in a better way, with a more refined attitude of being faithful stewards. For most of us, it's just Christianity has just been a casual social gathering type of things, like a club. We just join. Oh, I'm a Christian. You know, in Kosovo, then there's this in Kosovo club, there's this fan club. You know, all these clubs are all over the place, you know. Some radio stations have their fan clubs, football, Santo Kotoko club, circles, this House of Folk. They also, all these groupings, now we have them on the digital WhatsApp group, this group. But you can't liken being a Christian to any of these social groupings. Because to be a Christian is a whole lifestyle change. It's not just a club that you join. Like you just have a card. I'm a card bearing member of NPP. I'm a card bearing member of CPP. I'm a card bearing member of this party. No, it's not like that you just call yourself a Christian. I'm a Christian. It's a whole lifestyle change that we should adopt. And it's a choice. I mean, nobody can force that lifestyle change on you. No, you have to choose to be holy. You have to choose to follow Christ. You have to choose to live for Him. You have to choose to walk in His word. You have to choose to live a life that pleases Him. No one can force you to do it. You can be guided, you can be advised, you can be admonished, you can be talked to, you can be counseled, whatever. But the real deal is you yourself. No one can do it for you. You have to decide that I want to be on the straight path. I want to repent and come back to the right channel of the Christian life. Because you see, when we don't get these things right, then we'll keep struggling. We'll keep struggling. You see, and the reason why it's important we align ourselves to be in the right channel is that even when things are, there's no difficult, conditions, as it were, to be a Christian. Like in Ghana, for instance, the average ideal Christian is not being persecuted to the point of he being killed, some are being persecuted in terms of some Muslims who have become Christians, so they've been rejected by their families. Those ones are there. But the average Christian is not being persecuted for his faith or her faith. So we have a comfortable environment to serve God. But if even in the midst of this comfort, we are struggling to follow Christ, then how would it be when the conditions are not comfortable? Now that you can eat, you have work, you go to work, you are living with your family, all these conditions are, at least, even if you are not living as you want, but things are a bit reasonable compared to the very poor of the poorest, but at least you are surviving. If that's even under those conditions, you are struggling to serve God, then how much more when you've been evicted from your home and you have to struggle to survive in a village somewhere? Are those times now that you are going to look for God? You see, if we don't equip ourselves well now, when the tables start turning, we'll give up. We'll say that, no, we are not ready for this hard game. No, we've been playing the soft all this while, and I'll prefer to just back out. I mean, this one, well, it's my own life, so what's the big deal? So that's why people fall away, when the tables become shaky. And because it's my hope and prayer that God will help us to avoid getting into those situations, that's why I'm bringing up some of these things on this, the last few weeks, so that we challenge ourselves, we ask the hard questions to put ourselves back in line. Because you see, it's important we get things right. It's very important. You see, if there was ever a time to realign ourselves well on the path towards heaven, it should be now. You know, like a plane is parked, will be parked on the tarmac at the airport and all. But when it's about to take off, it will taxi, move, and then get to the runway and align itself along the runway correctly. warm up the engine to the point where, okay, now the throttle, I mean, the speed and everything gets to the point where thrusters comes in and then it can take off. Move up, fly like a bird off. If a plane doesn't align itself to the runway, there's no way it can take off, because where it will run into the grass or some whichever wall or whichever place, it can't fly again. But when the plane aligns itself with the runway and the pilot does the movements in the cockpit, everything, and everything is correct with the plane will take off. If we don't align ourselves well now on the narrow path to heaven, we cannot take off. We cannot make it, because you see, if you are not on that path, how do you go there? You see, there's a path, there's a way that leads towards heaven. You just can't be on any way. There's a broad way, there's a narrow way. But you have to be on the right way that leads you to heaven. And this is the time to align ourselves on that way correctly. Because for some of us, we keep straying. We come on the way, then we move off. It's like we are not stable. Monday, we are off. Saturday evening, Sunday, you are going to church. So then you have to quickly get back in line again. We cannot continue that type of Christianity where it's only weekend that our spirituality level is high. So it's like if like there's a measurement of spirituality, when the thermometer or whatever meter is placed, that one it will read maximum. Yeah, spirituality level, good. Brother Oja, spiritus, yeah, you're on top. Monday evening, Sunday evening, that means church is over. That means then the heat will still be there. And then by Monday morning, your temperature starts going down. When they read, you are down midway, 50%. By Wednesday, could you talk about zero? By Thursday, Friday, if care is not taking negative, cry off. You are purely like an unbeliever. You've crossed cry to a negative level. Then Saturday, you start rising up again. Then back overnight. By Sunday morning, back to maximum Christian level. You know, we cannot move like that. We are deceiving ourselves. We cannot continue moving on off the way. You see, we are getting to the point where we are, we should be on the right way. Matthew 7:14 says, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way. Let me start from 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. 14, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Few there be that find it. So if we are on the narrow way, let's stay on the narrow way. We have to stay on the narrow way, because there's no better time to get right with God than now. There's no better time than now. I was having a chat with a friend this week, and I was telling him the season is very deceptive, because it looks like all is well, all is calm. You can call it the calm before the storm. It's like it seems all is well, nothing is happening, nothing is going to happen. You see, and that is even when things are even more dangerous. The calm before the storm, when it looks like all is well, that is when the devil just comes to sweep you off. When it looks like, nothing is going to happen. You see, you lose your guard under such conditions. You lose your guard during such seasons. This is where complacency sets in. You see, so I'm sure a lot of people will attest to this that I'm talking about. COVID came, people were praying, people were fasting, people were spending more time on the word of God, reading, meditating, studying. Now it looks like now COVID is over. It's like, back to our own normal way of, shallow Christian life. A lot of people have gone back to the normal, lukewarm. It's like COVID brought some fear into the system. It's like, hey, let's get closer to God. God will protect us. So people became more serious with God. But when things normalized and the numbers keep dropping, now here Ashanti region, there's only 2 cases. So it's like, the thing is over. So we've gone back. You see, so instead of sustaining that momentum, sustaining that atmosphere that we created, that seriousness and zeal that we had for God during the COVID, in the heat of it and all, we've lowered our guard because it's not one of those things. So you see, an opportunity came that we should have taken advantage of to sustain our growth and to push ourselves, because it's like a force. If you are, a plane is taking off, a certain force, energy, a force is needed. I mean, there are instances where a plane tries to fly and they have to abort and then go around again because the force, they couldn't reach a certain potential. The force wasn't enough to push the plane up. So you see, when you get that push, the certain push, so COVID became that push that was helping us to grow spiritually. But when that push wasn't coming, forthcoming, we also didn't, the push is not coming, or let me stay where I am. So instead of continuing to go forward, we have slacked again. And I mean, a lot of people who were praying hours during COVID, now barely a few minutes and normal again. The fact that you could do it, it's not about even the lockdown period, but the fact that you had that desire to do it means, fine, if the conditions are still not the same, the time and all that is still not the same, you now have to create extra time. Then if you have to cut some things off, I talked about redeeming the time some weeks ago, that you see, that's the essence of redeeming the time. So that at least if during COVID you were home, so you could pray for, let's say, 2 hours. Now, because you are going back to work or school, whatever, so you can't have that 2 hours during the day to pray. It means then you have to cut some time off other things to still make time, because it's still possible you can make time. If you stop watching the English Premier League, you can make time to pray. If you stop, watching soap opera and just some entertainment shows on TV which add no value to you spiritually, you can make time. So, you see, we can still sustain our spiritual momentum if we really desire to make time for what we were using that time for, the free times we had during the COVID. You see, that means we are determined to grow. We are determined to move in a certain path. And I believe it's a challenge that we should all put ourselves to, that we want to really, really do well. We want to do well, you see. And it's important. We have to do our best. We have to do our best. This is the time we need the refining of the Holy Ghost. We need to be refined. You see, it gets to a point where you need extra power to stir you up. And it's possible. The Holy Spirit is always available. We've unconsciously, Christians, we put ourselves to the point where we think unless there's a big revival at church or at a big program, a stadium, that's only when God can move in our lives. But that's not the case. That's not the case. You can just be in your room alone and have time with God and you can be revived again. Your prayer life can be restored again. That desire to live holy can be revived in you again. It just takes a decision that you want to be, a choice. I choose to be holy. You choose. I choose the presence of God. You see, you say, I want you. Talk to God. Talk to the Holy Spirit. He will help you. He will revive you, empower you. That desire can still be rebirthed in you again. You see, it's a choice. To fail is a choice. To succeed is a choice. I mean, if you fail as a Christian, it's a choice you have made. I mean, you can't blame your pastor. If you are not praying, you can't say because of your pastor you are not praying. You have to open your mouth and pray. So if you are not opening your mouth to pray, what has your pastor done? Fine, maybe you've not been taught how to pray. But, there's a degree to which you can blame others. But the ultimate responsibility lies with you, because you have to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. If others are not helping you to be able to achieve that, well, fine. But at the end of the day, you have to work it out. you have to work things out yourself. Because, you know, I cited this example some time back. You know, like, there are people who go to school in real remote villages where, under normal circumstances, you ask yourself that who can move out from this place to university. But some people are so determined in life that they will do everything. They will struggle. They will get to the city, come and be a shoeshine boy, do this. Eventually, they fund themselves. They get to school. Little by little, they struggle. They're able to make it in life. Some are PhD holders. Some are professors. I mean, there are sad testimonies of people who worked hard through obscure, villages, remote places in Ghana where, under normal circumstances, if you are just looking at the normal move of steps, how things should go, it should not be possible to move from there to invest. Even to secondary school, you should not be able to pass. But people, that determination. So it doesn't matter how you've started your Christian race. If you determine and push yourself to the point that I want to succeed and make it, you set your goal devoid of all the other factors of, you not being taught in church, you know, those are things we shouldn't let ourselves be distracted by. Fine, the fact that you are not being taught some things in church doesn't mean you can't also study it on your own. You own a Bible, who stops you from reading it? The Holy Spirit is open to all, accessible to all. Who stops you from praying to God? No one. So you have the choice. And once you are determined to follow that choice, then the help of God comes in. I'll be back after the song, the program is Issues of Life, the station Spirit 88.3 FM. Amen. Brother Yao is now really busy. This weekend he's not around as well, but I believe, God willing, the first Saturday in November, that's if he's in town, he would be joining as well. All right, I'll be back after listening to this song, listening to the words of this song. It's a prayerful song that, if you sing it sincerely, it really makes a lot of difference.
Morning to you, Lord, and we choose to welcome you here in this place. Father, even now, would you just cause your Holy Spirit to rest afresh on us? Lord, we thank you for the things that we were witnesses of last night. For you have again done a work in our hearts. And you have breathed life back into us. So again today, Lord, we just want to say yes to you. Purify my heart. Let me be as gold and precious silver. Purify. Cleanse. me from my sin.
Yes.
Deep within, refine as fire. My heart's one desire is to be.
Cause us to have believing hearts. And would you unify your church this morning, Lord, represented here from all over the world.
Welcome back to Issues of Life, Spirit FM. This is Eben. Purify my heart. Let me be as gold and precious silver. Purify my heart. Let me be as gold, pure gold. Refiner's fire. My heart's one desire is to be holy. Now, this is a question we should ask ourselves. Do we really desire to be holy? Is it our desire to be holy? It should be. It should be our desire to be holy. Set apart for you, Lord. You know, we should be set apart as Christians for the Lord. We should be set apart. Our lives should reflect the Christ we profess to follow. Our lives, people should see Christ in us. People should see that we are Christians. But these days, you know, one of the saddest statements people can make about you, which if anyone makes that statement about you, you should really go and really weep when you get home or wherever you find yourselves. It's when they say, oh, are you also a Christian? You know, when that statement is made about you, that means they don't see anything Christ-like in you. You know, when someone says that to you, oh, are you also a Christian? Especially if they've known you for some time. They are with you, they know you up and down, and they ask, are you also a Christian? That means the benchmark, the standard that they expect a Christian to be, they don't see that you are below standard, so they are wondering if you are also a Christian. Because if you are not set apart, people will ask you that, are you also a Christian? Because we should be set apart, we should be seen as Christians, even when we've not even spoken. people should be able to, this guy, you know, that atmosphere around you. But, you know, there are people who, in their schools or wherever, offices and all, people, when they are doing something, saying something, when they see you coming, then, hey, insufferable. You know, you are not even a pastor, but they see you as, hey, this person there, you less with, like, when he goes, you continue. Or when he passes, you continue. Because they see this person is a Christian. So we can't cross his path with this, you know, these things. But for you, when they are gossiping and they see you, hey, come in here, fill up. You are even the main broadcast link, for the gossip center. So when the non-believers don't save, the other people are misbehaving and doing things which Christians should, they even invite you because they know you are one of them. Meanwhile, Saturday, you are preparing, you've gone for choir rehearsals, you've gone to clean the church, Asha, what, you've gone for prayer tower, pray tomorrow, you are going to church. But at office, they don't see you as a set apart person for Christ. You have to repent. Goes on to say that I choose to be holy. It's a choice. Nobody can force you to be holy. You have to choose. It's a choice. We have to choose. And it's one choice we should all make. Let's choose to be holy. We've lived like unbelievers for too long. It's okay, let's choose. That at least we've tasted the world. Okay, now let's stay in where we are as believers. Let's choose to be holy. Set apart for you, my master, ready to do your will. We have to be set apart to do God's will. We should be able to tell God that, God, I'm setting myself apart, my master, to do your will, to live for you, a life that pleases you. Purify my heart, cleanse me from within, and make me holy. You know, you cannot pray this to God and God will not answer. You know, these are prayers God will readily answer because you want to live right to please Him. And this is the will of God, that we live to please Him. Purify my heart, cleanse me from my sin deep within. You know, recently I was having a chat with a friend and I was telling him that the sins we should be careful of, it's not the open ones everybody is seeing us doing. The sins of the heart, which no one sees. And sometimes it can be there, and like, maybe you yourself, you forget that that sin is there. Because it's now part of you, part of us. We think, oh, it's normalized. So we don't even see it as a sin again. Because our conscience has been so seared that it's now part. We don't see it as a wrong thing. Those sins of the heart, bitterness, unforgiveness, slander, those unforgiveness especially, people are holding grudges, they've sworn that they will never forgive someone. It's a sin of the heart. And those, if you don't get rid of those things, those secrets, sins of the heart, the sins deep within us, if we don't get rid of them, those sins will keep us from going to heaven. As for unforgiveness, it's even in the whole category of itself, because with that one there, you don't even bother to pray because your prayers won't even be answered, because the word of God says, if you don't forgive, I won't also forgive you. That's, the normal prayer. Forgive us our sins as we forgive. You see, it's a conditional thing. We forgive others, God will also forgive us. If God, you are not forgiving others, God will also not forgive you, and God will also not hear your prayer. So, sins deep within us, let's get it, let's get rid of them. Ready to worship, ready to follow, and ready to do your will. You know, it's very important. We have to pay attention to our daily walk now. These are the times to pay attention to our daily walk. As believers, it's a lifestyle. We have to, you know, we have to adopt that new lifestyle as followers of Christ. Previous times, Christians were ready to adopt that lifestyle as a Christian. But these days, what I call the hybrid Christianity has come in so much that We don't want to, choose that I'm a Christian, so I'm living as a Christian. So the things I do should glorify God. The songs I listen to should glorify God. The music I watch, the things I watch should glorify God. No, these days we are Christians, but we still want, so it's like someone standing with two legs apart, one leg in the world, one leg in Christ. And we want to enjoy everything that is in the world and also enjoy everything that is also in Christ. So we are here and we are there. This hybrid Christianity, we have to get rid of it. We have to denounce one citizenship and adopt only one. We can't, Ghana's parliament, some years back, someone, an aspiring MP or something, he had a US citizenship and dual citizenship thing. All these issues came up, and eventually I think he had to renounce the US one or something. I've forgotten that case. But, we can't hold on to Christ and still hold on to the world. It's not possible to have a hybrid Christianity. World in the, we are half in the world, half in Christ. It doesn't work that way. It may seem to be working that way, but it won't work eventually, because that is not the prescribed Christian walk. So if you are listening and you've adopted, you are part of the hybrid community, the hybrid Christianity community, where you are in the world, you are in the church lifestyle type of thing. The worldly people see you as their member. In the church today, see you as their member. You are here and you are there. When the gossipers are meeting, you are invited. When the fornicators are meeting, you are invited. When the thieves are meeting, you are invited. When the liars are meeting, you are invited. When the tongue speakers are gathering, you are also there, shouting the loudest. When the worship singers are singing, you are there, holding the mic. When the evangelism team is moving, you are with them. So you are in the world, the things of the world, you are in there, clubbing secretly, doing secret things. And when the church is meeting, you also want to present fully. You are deceiving yourself. You are not deceiving your pastor. Yes, it may look like you are deceiving him, but it's you yourself you are deceiving. At the end of the day, you are the one who will pay for the price for it. You may do everything to please your pastor. He will just say, God bless you. Oh, well done. Let's clap for our sister. Let's clap for our brother. That's all he can do. But eventually, God will hold you accountable. So you see, we can deceive ourselves to a point, but eventually we can't deceive God. So it won't pay, and there's no benefit if we go on with the hybrid Christianity. It won't benefit us, because it's as good as not being a Christian at the end of the day. Yeah, it's as good as not being a Christian at the end of the day. So let's adopt a lifestyle that is holy and pleases God. The little sins, we have to put them to rest. We have to. You see, we've been playing with them, but we should get to the point where it's enough is enough. Let's pull the brakes. The big sins, too, we have to get rid of them. They are the little ones, they are the big ones. We have to get rid of both of them. We must get back to a clean start. Let's start once. Start again. Get back to the basics. Talk to God. Repent. He's ready to listen. He will not cast you away, no. When you are willing to start again, He will be there to help you again. The Holy Spirit will be there to help you again. We should get back to the correct point. Sometimes you go and then you realize you are lost. Then you have to get back to a certain point, like a certain landmark, before you can make your correct journey again. Because you've gone too off that, unless you get back to a certain point, you still cannot be on the right path. So let's get back to the basics. Let's get back to the foundation. The right way that leads us to heaven. The right way. Because it's not every way that will lead us to heaven. No? If you read Proverbs 16:25, I think, yeah? There's a way that Smith writes, think. Yeah, Proverbs 16. Let me just quickly read it. Proverbs 16, 25. Yeah. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So it's not every way that you can be on and you get to heaven. No. We have to know that some ways lead to death. Some ways lead to death. And then let me read Revelation 22, verse 11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. So it's like a dual carriage, unjust lane, filthy lane, going. If you want to be in on this dual carriage, go ahead, continue to be there. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. So that one too, under dual carriage. So we have two sets. Unrighteous, unjust, and filthy highway. Two lanes. And then we have righteous and holy highway. Also two lanes. The choice is ours. Which one to stay on? We have a choice to choose. I mean, so, is it the choice is open? I mean, I just like the way John put it in Revelation. It says, Revelation 22:11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. So the choice is open. What you want to choose is yours. So if you want to still cruise at 180 kilometers per hour on unjust and filthy highway, keep stepping on accelerator. Eventually you get to your destination. And for you who also be on the righteous and holy highway, continue to be on that one. It's not going to be easy on it, but we still have to persevere on that road, because that is the only road that leads to heaven. That is the only road that leads to eternal life through Jesus. That road is not easy. Certainly, it's never been easy, and it's not. The early church didn't find it easy. The middle age churches didn't find it easy, and we are not going to find it any easier. Yes, but if the early church, they were empowered to able to endure the Middle Ages, the Inquisition periods, the 15th century, the Martin Luther era, all those people, they were able to endure. Then the grace of God is also available for us to also be able to endure. Because if others have been able to make it, then we can also make it. You know, that's the encouragement we can get from the Word of God. When the heroes of faith, you read Hebrews chapter 11, you know, you read through, you realize, no, these are just a few, not even the full list. But all these have been put there to encourage us, to let us know that if it was possible for them, then it is possible for us. And, you know, that's you read Hebrews 12:1, it says, 12:1 says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. So these are the witnesses. They have finished the race. Now they are cheering us on. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. That means it's possible to run the race. It is possible to run the race. You go through the Hebrews 11. So you see, the whole Hebrews 11 are these heroes of faith. And then now it gets to 12:1. Wherefore? So all these examples that have been given in the 11. Wherefore, seeing we also, that you and I, we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. These witnesses listed in the 11 and others, many others more. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You know, those times, I remember secondary school times where intercolleges, those times, I mean, I was in Accra then. And, you know, you look at when they are running like races like 4x1, I mean, 4x100, and, you know, the crowd, the cheering, I mean, the schools with the largest numbers, you know, cheering the numbers. You see, it's psychologically, it boosts the athletes. Because schools that have few representatives and it's like, you know, their singing crowd doesn't reach anywhere. The athletes don't do well. But when you have the schools coming in their numbers and the whole stadium, the noise, it's like the athletes is empowered to do well because of the support. And we've been surrounded. Yes, physically we are not seeing with our eyes, but this the Bible is letting you understand that others have done it, and they are saying, you too, go on, you can make it. If we were able to, you too, you can. That's the beauty of the Word of God, to inspire us to continue the race. Because, you see, the race, that's what I said earlier, automatically we are in the race, whether we like it or not. Yes, there's a race we are to be part of. So it's either you are running it or you quit. So we have to run. It's like once you are in, then that's it. You are in. Let's go all out and finish it. Let's put in our effort. Let's put in all the strength that we can to push. Because we can make it. Others have made it. We can make it. And the grace is available to empower us to finish. You know, there is something they call wind-assisted. You know, sometimes when they are doing athletics, of course, in Ghana, we don't really measure those things. But when you watch the Olympic Games or the World Athletics, and the day is windy, the wind of the speed, is they measure it and all that. There are some records which, or people set some records, and then they write into bracket WA. Or wind assisted. So though you won the race, but the wind was on your side. The wind was blowing to... There's a little element of wind assisting you to win that particular race. And the Holy Spirit, some time back, it's been a while, I mean, where he likened this to the grace, how the grace works. So it's like you are running the race and the grace is assisting. So it's like the grace is like that wind empowering you to be able to win. So it's like in the case of the normal athletes being wind assisted, ours is grace assisted. So the grace is empowering us to be able to move on. And that's the whole essence of we working in line with the Word of God and we being in tune with His will. At the end of the day, I mean, the beauty of it is to make it to heaven. It may be difficult. More difficult for some, it may be easier for some, whichever way, but whichever way it is, let's be determined to make it to the heaven. For the messages, I think someone have sent messages 0244-638-757. I think I have some 10 minutes to pick a few calls. Anyway, I think we can pick a few calls. So 0546-898-888. I think this one is saying, okay, let me check the message. 0244-638-757. That's for SMS and WhatsApp. And then, okay, the phone calls to the studio are 0546-898-888.
You have a caller. We choose to welcome you here in this place. Father, even now, would you just cause your Holy Spirit to rest fresh on us. Lord, we thank you for the things that we were witnesses of last night. For you have again
have done a work in our hearts. And you have breathed life back into us. So again today, Lord, we just want to say yes to you. Our hearts this morning as we say with our mouths that we choose you. Would you cause us to have believing hearts?
You know, this song is a very powerful prayer. I mean, we really have to seek the repentance and seek to be refined. And yeah, that's the whole essence. And thank God for tonight. It's my prayer that we would meditate on the word of God and really get our lives back to the right channel, to the right standard, where we should be, we should, and strive to grow. You know, we are busy praying for things, praying, God give me this, God give me that, you know, binding and loosing, and all. You see, at the end of the day, our priorities are getting distorted. You know, we are losing focus on the most important things, and we are busy chasing. You know, Jesus said it clearly, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of, you know, of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Unfortunately, we are busy seeking the other things, and we are not willing to seek his kingdom. But if we get the priorities set right, things will fall in line. If we realign our priorities, where we bring him first to be part of us, our lives, our daily living, our lives revolve around him. We start our day with him, we end the day with him, throughout the day too we are with him. You know, let's create the environment that makes it possible for us to be Christians. The things we listen to, you are a Christian, then you are listening to worldly music, everything filthy, you are listening, you know, programs, unnecessary talks. You know, there are some programs, the things they are talking, it's not benefiting you in any way. People's, somebody, his marriage, is this, is that, virtually just unnecessary gossips, and all those things add no value to your spiritual life. If, instead of listening to those things, why not listen to, even you have audio Bible, listen to it. That is more, you are feeding your spirit, man. Unnecessary gossip, the time, you see, let's see how to redeem the time and use our time wisely. You see, at the end of the day, you will realize that we are also going to give account of how we spent our time. And no, what excuse can we give God that, God, I didn't have time to do this, I didn't have time to do that. What time again, 24 hours, what time again should he give you? You see, you have time to go to work, you have time to go to school, you have time to do things, family-related things, as a mother, as a father, you have time to do all these things. And yet, we don't want to create time for our spirit man. We don't want to create time to grow spiritually. You see, and the devil is very cunning, the devil is very smart. He knows how to steal our time, and he is successfully doing it. He has designed things which are intentionally being done to, deceive us and to sway us and to steal our time. But Christians are very ignorant of the devil's devices, so Christians are falling for it. You know, I keep telling people, a lot of Christians were doing far better as Christians until we had digital TV and English Premier League became available and all that. Then their focus started shifting. Things started distracting them from being serious Christians, because the time they spend on football alone, it's just draining them spiritually. Because by the time they don't have time for anything godly again. See, it looks like, oh, it's extreme. But these are the little foxes that are making it difficult for us to serve God. Unnecessary TV shows, TV, everything you watch. Look at the hours we spend on all these things compared to the minutes we spend on spiritual things. How then can we grow? How can we be strong spiritually? It's not possible. It's not. You can't be sowing apples and expect to be reaping mangoes. No. It's time we reevaluate and assess ourselves. The program has been Issues of Life. God willing, next week, we'll be coming your way. We thank God for tonight. Spirit FM is the program, is the station, and this is Eben. I think I'll attend to the messages later. Good night, and God bless you.
And we choose to welcome you here in this place. Father, even now, would you just cause your Holy Spirit to rest afresh on us? Lord, we thank you for the things that we were witnesses of last night. For you have again done a work in our hearts. And you have breathed life back into